So today's gospel is one of those few gospels that actually fits into our daily routine. We're now into harvest Thanksgiving, aren't we? We see the fields are now starting to be cut and the bales of hay. We see all the different people who've got their gardens taking all the riches that they've got from the tomatoes and the cucumbers and the zucchini. They're all starting to come out of the gardens now, aren't they? And so we have kind of a very fitting gospel today because it's a gospel about a vineyard. Now, vineyards are very tricky kind of things. When we lived in Germany, it was often a common practice to walk through, the families would go and walk through vineyards. They were beautiful things to be a part of, and you'd walk through. But about 4 weeks before the harvest, they would lock up the vineyards and put a sign out saying, "The vineyards are closed, the grapes are sleeping." And yeah, it's kind of interesting, the grapes are sleeping. But really what was happening was the master of the vineyard would be going through there and making sure that at the very right moment, the harvest of the grapes would take place so the grapes would be the fullest and the richest that they could possibly be. And so there was always this tension, as it were, because if the weather turned rotten on them, they lost the harvest. So they were always constantly, so for 4 weeks, there was that tension that would take place in the vineyard as to picking the grapes at the right time. So you can imagine this vineyard owner here in our gospel today. He wakes up and he says, "Today's the day." So he goes down to the marketplace to where all the people, the laborers have gathered, and he hires a bunch of them. He says, "Listen, here's how much I'm going to pay. Come into my vineyard and start picking the grapes. Today is the day." So off the group goes. They start working. And I think the vineyard owner went out and saw that there was more work to be done. So he goes back again and gets more workers and more workers and more workers until the day is so long, there's only 1 hour really left of work, and he still goes back and hires some more people, hoping to get the maximum amount of grapes out of the vineyard for that day. And so then it comes to payday. Now, in the military, when it came to payday, we used to have to go to the paymaster. And the paymaster had this table. And you'd go and sign your name, and then he would count out the money, hand you the cash. This was in the cash days, not card days, the cash. And you'd take your cash, and you'd go over to the bank, and you'd put it in. But before you got to the bank, there was always the guy who said, "Well, listen, you borrowed from the mess this amount, so you got to pay us first, and you had to do this, then do that." And hopefully you had some left over to put into the bank. But the whole thing here was this same kind of action took place in this gospel passage. The vineyard master says, "Okay, paymaster, pay these guys. And I want you to start with the guys who have only worked 1 hour." Well, that's your decision. You're the boss. So the paymaster sits there and pays out a denarii. And that's the same denarii kind of pay rate that the guys had contracted at the very beginning. And so what happens? A large amount of grumbling takes place. Now, you can imagine the grumbling, how it must have started. You know, "Oh, man, these guys are getting money the same as I'm getting. You know, that's just not fair. You know what?" And then it sort of swelled up. It got louder and louder and louder till the vineyard owner couldn't ignore it any longer. And what does he say? "It's my decision. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to give the people who only worked an hour the same rate as you were contracted for." And so we look at that as a way of saying, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's how the gospel ends. But what does this all mean for you and I? How does this affect our lives? Well, first you have to look at the gospel as being intertwined. There are actually three things happening at the same time. First, there's Jesus saying to his disciples, "Listen, you're with me right now. You get to see all the things that are going to happen on the ground floor. You're right there. You're going to see the feeding of the thousands. You're going to see healings. You're going to be a part of the discussions about the kingdom of God and its coming. But that doesn't make you any better than anyone else." That's the first little thing that's going on. The second thing is Jesus is speaking to the people of Israel, who the Jewish communities, who always said, well, we're the chosen people. We're the ones that God chose, so we must be special. And this gospel goes on to say, no, you know, you're special only because others are going to come behind you. The Gentiles, ordinary people who aren't Jew, will come. And they too will be a partaker of the kingdom of God. And the last thing that's interweaved into all this story is the tremendous grace that God shows. The tremendous grace by saying the person who only worked an hour and the person who worked the entire day are equal in the sense of giving the same grace that God gives to everyone. And so we see this whole interwoven kind of threads coming back and forth throughout the gospel. But, you know, when you think about how it impacts us, you know, we live in a world that says experience is required. You need experience. You've got to have experience. I don't think I've ever gone into an interview where they didn't say, what's your experience? Rather than, you know, that's just how we are. But I think the question should be, how are you going to use your experience to further the people around you? It's a different way of posing the question. How are you going to use your experience, your life experiences, to further the kingdom of God with the people around you? And I think that's what's so interesting about this gospel passage. You know, last Saturday, Mary Lynn and I went and took a course. It wasn't really a date night. We went specifically on a course. This course was on how to use a knife correctly. Now, that's what I did when Mary Lynn suggested that I go on this course. I said, I'm 66 years old. I've got 10 fingers. I have obviously used knives correctly because I have these 10 fingers. And I can surely say that I have experience using a knife. Well, we took this course, and it was amazing what I learned. I can go on and on, but that's another story. The bottom line is that even though I had these, I'd say, 60-odd years of using a knife, I learned so much from this fellow who taught me how to use the knife correctly and better. So now when I come to your house, I can chop up stuff really good for you. So leave something for me to do, all right? But the big thing is, though, that it's experience that he shared with us, his tremendous experience on how to use a knife correctly. And you and I are called to do the same thing. We're asked to go out into the world and use our experiences to help those who are learning about the Christian faith. We are called to go and be examples, to use our experiences to further those around us so their understanding of God is increased. Amen.